Well, this is what we call grow groups. Now, if you remember, we call them grow groups for this reason. The word grow is G-R, grow in relationship, and then O-W is obey the word. And so what we've done is this. We meet together, and for about the first 30 minutes, we come in here and we study a subject. Last time, seven last things in Revelation. This time, it'll be the Holy Spirit. We did the one another's. We've done different things during what we call our grow group studies. One, we did God's truths, which was, I think, one of my most favorite studies I've ever studied, as we looked at some big truths of the Scripture in grow groups. So that was a lot of fun. But what grow groups are so special is the idea is growing relationships. That means not only we come in here and we have this time, we study and all these things, but then we go to these different groups. And some people don't think they're important. I mean, they just don't realize how important they are. The most important event connected with this church is actually the grow groups. Because a person could come every Sunday morning to the church service, sit in the back, sing the music, listen to me teach something and walk out, and they're never going to be changed and they're never going to connect. The grow groups is where we get in with smaller groups of people and we get to know each other and we pray for each other and we build each other up and we study together and we laugh together. And if one in our group is sick, our group takes care of them. A lot of people say, well, you know, what if somebody in a grow group gets sick? Who's supposed to take care of them? Grow group. Now, what if a person in our church is sick and they're not in a grow group? Then we're going to take care of it. We'll figure out a way to do that. But grow groups are so vital because this is where all of the ultimate ministry and relationships come together, right there. So I thank y'all for being in a grow group. I thank for you committing the fact that you're going to be in a group and you're going to meet regularly. You're going to know each other. You're going to pray for each other. You're going to be there for each other. When we're going to rejoice when they rejoice, and we're going to cry when they cry, and we're going to be there for each other. So that's what the grow groups are all about, is growing relationship. And then the second part beside the relationship is obeying the word. And that's where we actually study, and we're studying in here. And then a lot of times when we go in our grow groups, there's facilitator questions. You not only have a host, but you have a facilitator. And what hopefully that as you're in there and after you do prayer requests and after you're talking all that, then you review anything that might be questions that you have from the study or from the lesson. So, but the emphasis really for me for grow groups is not just the teaching. Teaching's always important. The Word of God is the key. We're going to see it in Sunday morning's message. The Word of God is the most important thing that we do because everything comes off the Scripture. But if you don't have the relationships, you have nothing. The body of Christ, Jesus Christ said, I'm placing you in Christ. We're together. We're unity. We protect one another, build one another up, equip one another. That's the whole thing. You remember the one another's, which there are over 50-something one another's in the New Testament. And we talked about those. Okay, so that's our goal. Now, let's talk about our purpose, plan, and process. And I have for you, it says there are three areas, purpose, plan, process. First of all, and the first one is our goal. Here's our purpose. Our purpose or our goal is to make disciples. Why are we here? We're going to see it's to make disciples. We're going to talk about what that is. The second thing is our plan to equip the believers to do the ministry, build up the body of Christ. That's how we're going to accomplish our purpose. Now, listen. I'm not exaggerating. 80% of churches in the United States, if you went to them and said, what's your purpose? What's your plan? What's your process? What are you trying to do? How are you trying to do it? 80% don't know what you're talking about. The staff may know. The pastors may know. They may have come up with what they call their mission statement. But the average person sitting in the church has no idea what you're talking about, a mission statement, or what you're trying to do, or why you're here. And is the children's ministry, and the youth ministry, and the college ministry, and the senior adult ministry, and the pulpit ministry, and the women's ministry, are they all supposed to be doing the same sort of thing? The answer is yes. But in most churches, they're not even connected. And so what we're trying for all of us to see is that there is a connection here and that we have a church and we have a purpose to make disciples. We have a plan, equipping believers to do the ministries, and we have a process. And we're going to talk about how do we carry out these ministries? How do we carry out this and that? We call it gathered and scattered. So you've seen that on that first page. Now, this is all familiar to you. We've taught this a number of times. So let's get into it. And I'm going to go fairly quickly so we'll have time in the grow groups to do whatever we want to do and things like that. But let's talk about our purpose. Why do we exist? Our purpose, why do we exist? And of course, you're in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Notice what it says. It says, Jesus came up and spoke to them, said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and what? What does it say? Make disciples. And if you realize that the key here, there's the Great Commission, and the Great Commission is to make disciples. In fact, in that little passage, it says, we call it the Great Commission. There's the Great Commission, Matthew is the clearest one. In other words, it's one that we always go to. There's also one in Mark, there's also one in Luke, there's also one in John, and there's also one in Acts. So the Great Commission of taking the message of Jesus Christ and making disciples is found through all of the Gospels and the book of Acts at the start of all of this, but it's really clear in Matthew, and so we always go to that. And notice what it says. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teach them to observe all which I have commanded you. He says all this, but in all of this, there's only one command, and the command is to make disciples. In fact, actually in the Greek, it says, as you are going, as you are baptizing, as you are teaching, make disciples. So what is the purpose of this church and your life? What is it? Make disciples. Now, let's talk about what do we mean? This is the purpose. Well, what is discipleship actually? There's only one command, it's to make disciples. Well, when you look at this carefully, you find that there's two parts to it. There's evangelism and training. Making disciples involves two things, evangelizing and training. Now, evangelizing is sharing the message, training is equipping the saints. So when we say things, I mean, if you talk to many, many churches and you say, what's the purpose of the church? And they would say, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. That's half of the purpose of the church. Our purpose is to what? Make disciples. Making disciples involves evangelism and training. Let's talk about the first one. Evangelism is proclaiming Jesus Christ. That's what evangelism is. It is proclaiming Christ in this world. And let me just tell you something. Every one of us in this room, hopefully, you are prepared to share your faith. If you were not prepared to share your faith, if you'd say, if I got into a time to talk to somebody, I'm not sure what I'd say. In SBI, this next semester, starting Wednesday night, the 412 taught by Brian teaches you how to share your faith. My whole class, Becoming a Disciple Maker, talks about evangelism and training. It is actually dealing with making disciples. It's called Becoming a Disciple Maker. So if you were to say, I'm not sure I'm really, really, really ready, you need to take one of those two classes because that's what we're actually going to be doing in those classes. So evangelism is proclaiming Jesus Christ. Think about it. John 3:16, believe in Jesus. Whoever believes in Christ has eternal life. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to all who believe. We have to go with that message. We're going to talk more about it in just a second. But that's the bottom line. The bottom line is evangelism. That's part of our making disciples, that's sharing our faith. The second part is training. It says teaching believers to observe all which he has commanded. It means to obey the word of God. It means to train and equip believers. In fact, just as we've seen in 2 Timothy, it is to be taught and to teach others. Now, every one of us in this room are getting taught, and then we're to turn around and take what we've been taught and teach others. So our purpose is to do what? Make disciples. And it involves two things. What is it? Evangelism and training. Evangelism, telling people about Jesus, how they can have eternal life, and training is equipping believers, right? Helping them grow, helping them understand. That's what we're supposed to do. That is our purpose. And so look at this. To make disciples, we must be a disciple. And you know, being a disciple is not just a believer. Being a disciple is a one who says, I want to live for Jesus Christ. I want to make my life count for Christ. I want to do what he has for me to do. And what he has for us to do is what? Make disciples. Okay, now, that's our purpose. Well, we have a plan. And the plan is, how are we going to accomplish our purpose? In other words, if our purpose is that each one of us in this room be a disciple and make disciples and share our faith and all of those things, then how are we going to do that? I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Just flip over there real quickly. We've seen this many, many times. Many of you can quote these verses. You know them. I hope it gets to the point where you say, I know where he's going next. It's going to be Ephesians, you know, that you know what we're talking about, okay? Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, I think is the most important passage in the New Testament talking about growth and training of believers in the scripture, in the New Testament aspect of it. Because he says, notice what it says, 4:11. He says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, as teachers. Four, and then verse 12 is the key, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:12 tells us this. It tells us we're to equip believers to do ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Now, I want you to think about that. We're going to make disciples. That is evangelism and training. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to make disciples? How are we going to evangelize and train? Well, we've got to be equipped. So our plan is that we equip each other to do ministry so the body can grow. So you have it written down there, equip the believers to do the ministry so the body can grow. Well, let's talk about equipping the believers. And we equip each other to know for three things. This is the equipping part. To know, to apply, and to teach. Let me show you what I mean. We equip each other to know the gospel. If you're going to evangelize, you have to know what? If you're going to evangelize, you got to know what? The gospel. Then we got to know the what? The Bible. If you're going to train people, you got to know the what? The Bible. So let me tell you something. If we're going to make disciples, and if that's the purpose of our lives and of our church, and if we're going to lead people to Christ and then train them, equip them, we must be very clear on the gospel so we can lead them to Christ, and we must know the Bible so that we can equip them and train them. And so we're going to equip you. Part of what our job is to do, Sunday morning, grow groups, SBI, Bible studies, part of all of that we do is to equip you so that you can know the gospel and you can know the Bible, okay? So that's the key. Then it is to apply it. Remember, we said we want to equip you to know the Bible and to apply the Bible. Philippians 4:9 says, practice what you've been taught, okay? And then last but not least, so to be equipped to know the gospel and know the Bible, then to apply these truths, and then to teach others. Teach others that believers are to be taught and then to teach others. Now, let me just tell you something. We all know this, that at our church, we emphasize that every believer is to be equipped to know the gospel, know the Bible, live it out, and then teach others. But the truth is, a small number of people do most of that. A lot of people say, okay, I'm studying the Bible, I'm knowing it. Some people are trying to live it out. Very few are teaching other people. And when I say that, it doesn't mean you teach a class. It means you take what you know and you invest your life in others and help them grow. Now, it may mean you teach a class. It may mean you do a Bible study. It may mean you meet one-on-one with a person. It may mean that you've got this friend that every Thursday you meet at Panera and you just go over some Bible truths. You go over some things. You take the 4:12 and take them through the 4:12. You take the 2:2, take them through the 2:2. You take the becoming a disciple maker and take them through those kind of things. We just do those kind of things. Now, equip the believers to do the ministry. What's the third part? What is it? Equip the believers to do the ministry to what? Build up the body. And so this, the third part of this is we build up the body spiritually and numerically. And it's always that way. Now, let me tell you, when the Bible talks about growth, and in Ephesians 4, and it talks about building up the body of Christ, it's talking about spiritual growth. It's talking about spiritual growth. In fact, in Ephesians 4:11 through 16, it's spiritual growth. And it's how we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Now, here's something that is kind of amazing to me, that the Bible does talk about numerical growth. We don't always like to talk about numerical growth. People say, is your church growing? And the truth is, it could be growing spiritually, but not necessarily growing physically. It'd be a little unusual if all of us were growing spiritually and we knew the gospel and we knew the Bible and we were making disciples and we were leading people to Christ and we're trying to, we should be growing what? Numerically. We should. And so if we're not growing numerically, we need to ask ourselves, is something wrong? Are we not fulfilling our purpose? Are we not making disciples? Are we not equipping believers to do the ministry so that the body can grow? And so that's why it's important that all of us do the ministry. That's why all of us get equipped to do the ministry so the body can grow. And that's spiritual growth, but then there's a physical growth to it, a numerical growth. In Acts 2:47, it talked about they were meeting together and those kind of things. It's great. And that people were being added to the church daily. Let me ask you a question. Just think in your mind. Don't say a word. When was the last time You, two questions. Number one, when was the last time you talked to somebody about the gospel and you presented the gospel to somebody? Second, when is the last time you presented the gospel to someone and they trusted Christ as Savior? And then third question, if they did, what did you do with them? The problem is most people never even get to question one. We need to be sharing our faith. We need to be hopefully that people come to know Christ. And with that, what do we do with a person that knows Christ? We equip them, right? When they come to know Christ, we're making disciples, evangelism and training. So that takes us really now to the third part, and that's the process, okay? We call it gather and scatter or gathered and scattered. And this is really how it works. And we gather together for worship and training. So what have we done this morning? We've gathered together for worship and training, and we scatter for evangelism service. Now, let me just say something. When we talk about gathering together for worship and training, that doesn't mean we don't present the gospel and we don't share our faith, and that on a Sunday morning, especially as the passage talks about it, we present the gospel and hopefully people might trust Christ if there's someone here who is not a Christian. Now, gathering together supposedly on Sunday morning is the body of Christ, but there are people who come to church who aren't Christians, and we hopefully they might trust Christ. But most evangelism should be done not here, because this is where the Christians are. It should be done out there, where we go every day, our neighbors, people we work with, our friends, our family, our people, our acquaintances, our, you know, all those kind of things. And so we gather for worship and training, and we scatter for evangelism and training. So let's think about the gathering together. We gather together in two things, big groups and small groups, okay? We gather together big groups and small groups. Let me put it over here. I want to see how I have it put on this thing. This is a bigger group. Okay, Sunday morning is a bigger group. What's a smaller group? Grow groups. Because see, in just a minute, all of us are going to go into about 8 or 9 different smaller groups. Wednesday night, when we have SBI, those are actually small groups. They're small groups where we train. So remember, we're here for worship and training. On a Sunday morning, if there's 400 people in here, that's a big group training. You can't get a whole lot of feedback. In this group, it's, I don't know how many's in here. Say 200, I don't know. And we say, okay, that's a big group training. You can say, hey, JB, and I can go, yeah, what's the question? We can do that in here, but it's not as easy. You get into a small group, like a grow group, or an SBI, or a Bible study, or one of those, you can discuss everything. This is how we grow. This is how it all works. And so we're going to move from big groups to small groups. Some Christians never go from the big group. They're only thing they ever do in their life is go to Sunday morning worship service. That's it. We want everybody to get into a small group. And that's why we keep highlighting to people, please get people into grow groups. Let's get so many grow groups. We've already got every room full, but we'll make a room. We'll do something. I don't know. You know, we'll figure out a way to add another grow group. We'll do something, because we need people into smaller groups, because that's where it really happens. So, and the Bible talked about it. Listen to this. In Acts, it says in Acts 2:46, I don't know if I have that as, I don't think I have it as a verse up there, but in Acts 2:46, it says they met at the temple, which is the big group, and then they met from house to house. So this is like meeting in the big group, and then going into the grow groups and Bible studies and coming to people's homes and those kind of things are like the small groups. So that we gather to worship and to be trained and all those things. And then we scatter to evangelize and proclaim Christ and to serve. And Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 34 talk about that same thing about how they were sharing and they were doing all of those things. So think about this. Let's put it all together. So our purpose is to make disciples. What does that involve? What does making disciples involve? Evangelism and training. Our plan is to equip the believers to do the ministry, build of the body. Equip them to know the gospel and to know the Bible. And so they can do the ministry and build up the body both numerically and spiritually. Spiritual growth always comes first. Listen, you're not going to have numerical growth until you have spiritual growth. Now, you may have numerical growth, but it's going to be the wrong kind. If some kind of fad breaks out and people say, oh, we got to go there because we heard all this, people come in, they're not growing spiritually. They may have this numerical thing, but that's not really growth. Because what's going to happen is some other thing will come up and those people will go somewhere else. It always happens that way. People follow fads all the time. There are people in this town that have been in 10 different churches. Everywhere some new thing happens, they just go to it. And it happens. There are people come here and they'll turn around and leave and go somewhere else. And if you ask them, you say, now, where did you go? And they'll say this. And I say, do you know what they believe? And the answer is no, they don't know what they believe. In fact, most people think all churches believe pretty much the same anyway. And we don't. We don't. And it's amazing to me to see people who come to a church and they're not looking for what you believe. They're saying, how's your parking lot? What's your children's ministry like? Do you have donuts? They're not saying, do you believe the gospel? What do you think the gospel is? What do you think your purpose is? Why are you here? How are you carrying out your ministries? So we want to be ready. Okay, so our plan is to equip the believers to do the ministry, and our process is gather for worship and training, scatter for evangelism and service. So let's do this. Know the purpose of Stillwater Bible Church. What is it? Make disciples. Know our plan. It's to equip the believers to do the ministry so the body will grow. Who does the ministry in this church? You do. My role, I do ministry too, but my role as a pastor is actually like a coach. I'm a player coach. My job is to train you, and our jobs is to train each other to do ministry so that we all do it. Many churches believe that you hire a staff to do the ministry. You hire a staff to train people to do the ministry. That's what it's supposed to be. Okay, so that's how it works. Okay, so know our plan, equip the believers to do the ministry so the body will grow, and understand our process. We gather to worship and be trained. We scatter to proclaim Christ and serve others. So some great stuff there. So we want to be faithful to do that. Any questions or anything? Let me say it this way. As a church, our whole purpose is making disciples, which is leading people to Christ and training them and equipping them. We're trying to do that as we're equipping each one of us in this room to know the Bible, to know the gospel, to be able to apply it in our lives, to be able to train and teach others and all that, so that as we gather to worship our Savior and to train and equip one another, and then we scatter into this community to proclaim Jesus Christ, serve so that people can see us. I didn't really bring this out enough, but we're talking about serving people in this community. Every grow group is supposed to have every semester a project, right? Are you in a grow group? Don't you have a project? Supposed to have one, right? It's a project not for this church necessarily, but it's a project for this community so that people will see that we are touching lives in this community for Jesus Christ. Too often churches turn everything on themselves. How can we help each other? How can we make our church better, meaning we got to get better chairs, we got to get better this. Listen, it's not about chairs. It's about people knowing Christ and being trained and equipped. It's about making disciples.